Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
And Cannell, back to throw, first and 10, the pass completes his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has got three fingers, 22 to Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What is going on? Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell and Rajah Bell. It is Wednesday. For us, it is a Friday.
Word.
We're pumped. It's our last show of the week. Hopefully you guys are ticked off. That means you like the show and you actually like to get
We're
more of our content.
That it's the last show of the week.
Right, exactly, because we like delivering stuff for our listeners. But we will have no podcast on Friday or Monday, so a little bit of break. Maybe we'll put Debo to work and have him do like a best of. Just to have something
Let's
for our listeners.
Let's just have it by himself.
Okay. Yeah, yes. Just a solo pod for our boy Debo. But we will be back next week. Rajah is going to a hoops tournament. I'm going on vacation. Everybody's kind of going their separate ways. And we'll be fresh when we come back. And there might be some additions to the podcast.
Really?
Not people-wise, but ways that people can experience the podcast.
More look interactive.
Look for an announcement on that coming in the hopefully near future. But in the meantime, we got a big show for you. We're going to cram a lot of stuff into you, so hopefully we get some extra content. We're going to do our five-star Q&A, even though it's not Friday. We'll do some picks and props. We'll get to a bunch of stuff. But for this week, we got some Rajah rules. Like, that's one of my favorite segments.
Okay.
You're very strong on those. The LeBron and D-Wade rumors, both respectively different, but I think we're going to hit on those. Our top five, dead or alive. Debo's got something up there and some sneaker talk, as always, because we like our shoe game. And we'll break down some of the new sneakers that are out there. All right, NFL Combine is this week. It's a hot topic. It's what you're going to see on the NFL Network in our talk. We're going to talk about a lot about it here on CBS HQ. So let's do a little matters a lot, matters a little, or doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Go.
It matters a lot. Now, I mean, if the question is, should it matter a lot or does it matter a lot, I'd have two different answers. The reality is it matters a lot. You know, measurables, especially in a sport like football, seem to really, really matter to these GMs, whether you run a sub 4.4 or your vert is explosive enough. And like those things seem to really matter. Size, hand size, and Wunderlich tests and all of that. And then, you know, for me as a player, I always thought that players play. Mm-hmm. Like I might not test off the charts, but some guys are just gamers. They just get out there and they make a difference, despite what the numbers say, despite what their, you know, what their 40-yard dash time is. And I think there are cases of that across the landscape of all sports. But the answer to your question is it matters a lot. And, you know, specifically for guys that are kind of bubble guys, if you will, like those numbers can really be the difference between, you know, being a second day, third day pick and creeping into like the first round, you know, late first round.
I would say I'm in the middle because I think it matters a little, but I think it matters a lot to guys that you mentioned. Guys that are off the radar, if they come out there and they go sub 4.3 and they start all of a sudden, every scout's gonna be like, oh, who's this guy?
Right.
But the way I try to tell people what it should be is that it should be 70% of your evaluation should be what did you do on the field? Throw in the game tape, watch the film.
Sure.
That should be 70% of your evaluation. The scouts and GMs will tell you that's what it is, but I think they do get influenced by the combine. And more, so then you've got 70% there. I think you should have 20%, not the actual combine, but the interviews that take place at
right.
the combine.
Getting to know you a little bit.
Getting to know you, getting in front of those coaches, getting to answer questions about the game, what kind of schemes you run, what's your football IQ, a lot of those terms you hear thrown around when people are talking about the combine experience.
Right.
And then I would say 10% is what you actually do on the field at the combine, because some guys get nervous. Some guys
sure.
might, you know, they're trying to, or even more so, guys train specifically for the 40.
Right.
So does that, what does it translate? Because I can't stand the underwear Olympics. Like that's what it is. And guys that impress at the combine, I'm always like, well, why didn't he jump off the film? Especially at big schools.
Right.
When you're playing against bigger competition.
So when your point is spot on. And when I was with Cleveland, part of my job was to go out and watch these college players at their respective universities, at their you know, respective conference tournaments, and you know, I'd watch them on film, and then, you know, inevitably, like, we'd bring them in for draft workouts, or I'd go see them, like, in Chicago, like, Kobe Altman and I would go to Chicago with Trent Redden, and we'd go watch some of these kids play in, you know, five-on-five scenarios, run, do their shuttles, their 40s. I had already had my opinion of the kid from watching him live, from watching him on film. I was just looking for a verification for most, either that or something that would make me think other than what I saw, right? Like, so if I had already, you know, checked him off as a possible first round, and he jumped off the page at me, the combine. Then I verified what I had seen, and if he looked really, really bad, then there was a red flag there. So I wasn't basing whether I thought he was a draft pick or where I slotted him off of what I saw that week. And I think that's to your point. I had watched him, done my homework, seen him play, and made my determination pretty much based on that. And then I was just looking for a verification. And again, the interviews were huge. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we left there talking about. Like, when we went to dinner, and I found that fascinating. And when I was there, when we went to dinner after, you know, one of those days in Chicago, most of the conversation revolved around how good guys were in interviews. Bobby Portis was fantastic in his interview. You know, you got to know him. You didn't know him at Arkansas. You know, he gave you a little bit of his story, his backstory, and what fueled his fire. And you just left there really, really impressed with him. There were other guys like that too, but he kind of jumped, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein, another guy whose story was really, really interesting. You didn't know it. And his personality was just like, you're not going to lose with him. Like, he's a hungry kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Guys that you, like, when you see him, his tats and all of that stuff, people had their questions about him. But when you got to know him, and that was the most important part of that draft process, and I think you just hit that.
That's where it really is the biggest job interview of these guys' lives. Like, it's the biggest, the most important. That's why I feel when they sit down and when they get to talk to the GM, they need to present themselves in the best light possible and show some of that personality, especially for quarterbacks. I think it does matter how you present yourself.
Right.
Are you going to be able to somebody that they can trust as the future of your franchise? Then you've got other guys like Sam Darnold who is not throwing at the combine. And for me, that bothers me. Like,
right.
I think this is what you do. You're a quarterback. The most important thing you do in the game is throw the football. Why won't you?
Well, why wouldn't he? I mean,
well,
like,
so here's why I think. And I talked with Brady Quinn about this the other day. We were doing our thing here for CBS Sports HQ. So Brady didn't throw when he came out of college. I did. And I think it's changed a little bit. I think more guys recently have thrown at the combine. But, and Brady said something too, which I do agree with him, is the only thing you have if you're Sam Darnold, the perception of him right now is he's a top 10 pick.
Right.
The only thing that really could happen to him is he goes down. Right? His stock is knocked down.
Right.
But why would you just not have the confidence yourself? So I want to see myself next to Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield and all these other guys that are going to throw at the combine.
Yeah, the business has gotten in the way of that. Because NBA guys do it too.
I think it definitely is his people telling him, hey, throw in Southern California, you're comfortable there, you're going to have your own receivers. That's a big deal. The quarterbacks, it's really tough to get timing when you're throwing to 15 receivers from different schools across the country that you've never thrown to before. And the coaches that are working you in the interview or in the actual workout, they'll be like, all right, throw this on rhythm, throw this on timing.
Yeah.
And it's a tough sell because I was always like, no, I don't want to throw it on timing because I have no timing. So I'm going to wait, see the guy come out of his break, and then I'm going to throw it so we complete it because you want to
look
accurate.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a tricky one. I typically would say as a quarterback, go throw. Like, do it. That's your best thing. Now, me, when I was at the combine, and this is kind of why I get concerned when guys won't throw, all I wanted to do was throw. I didn't want to run because I didn't want to throw up a 40 time that looked awful.
You don't
like
want to
Tom Brady.
On
like
the board,
he was on No, I would have been, trust me, it would have been 5 something. And that was what I was nervous about. I didn't want to do the 225 bench press.
Right.
Because I knew I probably would have only got it up like 6 times. And then it would have been like, oh, this kid's weak. All I wanted to do was throw because I felt like that was my
biggest
sell.
That's what you do.
Debo, how the heck did you find these numbers?
I was going to say, I looked up your measurables. I couldn't find the bench press. I couldn't find the 40.
That's your explanation.
There's
why.
A reason. I did find your hand size.
Yeah, 9 3/8. The average in the NFL is now 9'6".
That's
hands.
The reason.
Yeah.
Let's see your mitts.
So I did this the other day.
Okay.
So I was doing a show with Chris Carter the other day, Hall of Fame, wide receiver. He had about the size of hands that you do.
Yeah.
Just monster hands. I think it does matter, but I think the only way it doesn't matter or it should be a red flag is if it's below a certain size. Like if you're under 9,
that's
I think
an
then
issue.
It's like, uh-oh. But I think there's like a window. If you're like 9 to 10, or whatever, like there's a sweet spot where you're just okay. And then if you're a guy like Russell Wilson or some of these other guys have 10+, then you're like, oh, this guy's got
Russell Wilson's hands are that
big?
Yes,
yes. Like he was one of those anomalies that was like
the
charts.
What would mine be? What do you think mine is?
You're probably not. You're probably close to 10.
Because look, I grab. Maybe
no, but he's short. Like that's.
No, I know. That's pretty incredible that his hands are that big. And I throw a football with my son a lot, and he just moved up. You know, he's in a junior ball now.
Yeah.
So I was with his quarterback's coach the other day, and he had some of the big balls laying around, some of the NFL balls. those balls are pretty damn big.
Yeah, they're
like,
huge.
And I've got a big hand, and I put my hand around it, and I don't know if it's because I was accustomed to the little one, but I was like, you do have to have a pretty good mitt to be able to sling that thing all around the place, running with it like a loaf of bread and stuff like that.
So here's one thing that really bothers me, and this is why I think you can't take too much into the hand size. Players now are going to see masseuses that will massage their hands for the month leading, and you can actually stretch and get more flexible because the way they do it, it's like pinky to thumb.
Right.
And if you can separate it wider, yes, you can actually make it longer.
Incredible.
So see, I could have been 10-inch hands.
You could have been.
If I would have had a masseuse working on my hands, I would have had it going. So Sam Darnold not throwing, I think, is going to be a big topic of conversation. Baker Mayfield's interview process.
Yeah.
Do the scouts buy into him as being this leader, and can he put the distractions behind? There's another guy that's going to interview, and I think it's really critical for him to do well. And he's one of the most polarizing guys in the draft, and it's Lamar Jackson, yep, quarterback from Louisville. And this is just like real talk, and this is where it concerns me for him, is that he struggles to communicate. Look, he grew up in a rough neighborhood, didn't have the best education, and he doesn't sound like a franchise quarterback.
Right.
And when I watch him on tape, I think somebody's going to get a steal with him because I think he can play the position. I think just because he doesn't sound away doesn't mean he can't absorb a system and execute it on the field. At Louisville, he was playing for Bobby Petrino, who puts a lot of pressure on his quarterbacks to be smart. They have to be educated. They have to be able to communicate in the huddle, right, and on the field. But unfortunately, and this is one thing where scouts, I think, will knock Lamar Jackson, it's not fair, is because he doesn't sound the way he should.
You know, it's interesting. I think the combine for him is going to be huge. And like, real talk, I think that if he runs a silly 40 time, it's only going to hurt him as a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, I think that if he goes out there and blazes, what's the fastest quarterback time on record? 4.35 or something?
His over under is set at 4.35.
If he blazes that, it's only going to further the conversation of should he be a wide receiver or should he be another skill position player. You know, I was thinking on the way in, and it had nothing to do with football. I was listening to something and it happened to me over the weekend. Somebody just grammatically wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And it was clear that they weren't polished and hadn't had the best, you know, educational upbringing. And I think you could probably make the case. Is he from Delray? Is he a Delray kid or Pompano or?
No, farther north.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know.
But like, look, Florida schools aren't the greatest to begin with. But just because you're not polished and grammatically you're not excellent doesn't mean you're not bright.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean you're not smart.
Exactly.
Doesn't mean you can't pick things up on the fly. And to have the amount of success that he's had at the position, especially you just alluded to Bobby Petrino and the type of advanced offensive system he kind of runs there, he throws a lot at you. I think it speaks to his ability to do that. And if you look at his numbers from this year to last year, his Heisman campaign, I mean, they were pretty remarkably close.
Better.
And he
played better.
And he played better. From a quarterback,
exactly,
he played better. So there was growth. So all of that speaks to me about like the trajectory of the kid, if he's coached, if he's... Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I've heard the arguments about size and weight. You know, 6'3", what is he, 215?
He's a little slight.
He's a little slight, and he runs a lot. That doesn't speak to longevity at the quarterback position in the NFL. He's got to be taught to protect himself. RG3 could not do that. Russell Wilson does do that. I think guys like, you know, Steve Young, when he came into the league, he ran a lot, but he learned how to play out of that pocket, and he learned how to get down and not take those hits.
Yep.
So I think it is a very, like, it's in a very, very important week for him. The testing, the measurables, I think hurt him if he goes super athletic, because they're going to try to make him into an athlete anyway.
I hope so. He's not a wide receiver. I asked him at the Heisman Trophy. I saw him that weekend in New York City. And I asked him the question. I was like, hey, would you ever consider playing wide receiver? And he kind of laughed. He's like, man, I can't catch.
Right.
He's like, I don't want to be a receiver. So I was like, that's kind of important. He is a quarterback.
So let me ask you a question. Sorry, not to interrupt.
Yep.
But let's say he gets in the interview process, doesn't wow anybody with
he's
the
not
things,
going
but
to.
He scores great on the Wonderlic.
Then that would help.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it concerns me because the Wonderlic has nothing to do with football. It
right.
has everything to do with how you were educated and then what kind of, you know, and how you were prepped for
I never took it. So what is it? That's interesting to me.
There's a lot of math on it. There's a lot of logic. There's a lot of, it's supposed to be an IQ test.
Right.
Debo, could you find my Wonderlic score? Let's see if you can find that one. I've always tried to find it. Unlisted. I tried to find it. But it doesn't correlate to anything. And I remember sitting in a room with the quarterbacks, looking around, and it's a test. It's 40 questions. You try to take them. It's timed. Some guys finished. Other guys don't.
So I always thought the Wonderlic.
Like Marino did awful. Dan Marino was one of the worst Wonderlic scores ever. And did that translate for him? No. It had nothing to do.
That's fascinating because I always thought the Wonderlic was like they threw up a bunch of football questions about coverages and
nothing.
This and that.
There's
and
you not were... one question about football on there. That's why it's so dumb that they
great.
Use it.
Yeah.
But so I actually, because I interviewed Lamar Jackson on the radio a couple times,
right.
And it was kind of a rough interview, right? Like, you couldn't understand him. It was, you know, sometimes it was intelligible.
Yeah.
So I actually, when he started to get more pub and was approaching the Heisman Trophy, I'm pretty tight with their SID. So I called him. I said, hey, you know, this is kind of behind, you know, off record. I said, hey, are you guys doing anything to help him? Because if he wins the Heisman, which it looked like he was, he's going to have to give a speech
right.
in front of millions of people when he wins the award. And he said they were. But this is where I think every college coach can do every player a huge service. And it's not just quarterbacks. Have every player take a class on public speech, on grammar, like the basics of grammar. Like help them in your interview process. Like have a class on the interview process. And some schools do, but it can really help or hurt you. And when the conversation, because a lot of people say it's about race, which... yeah, there are some things that will be said about him that will have racial undertones with him. But I'll give you a guy who was African-American who absolutely helped himself in the interview process was E.J. Manuel from Florida State.
Right.
He was drafted 16th overall and had no business being drafted. If you watched his film, he had no business being drafted that high. But if you and I talked to him in person as well, impressive, handshake.
Sure.
You know, sounded like a CEO of your club. So you can help yourself or hurt yourself through those interviews and how they go.
Right.
All right, let's get to – let's have some fun. This is my favorite, the Rajah Rules. I like what we're calling this one because there have been a lot of rules talked about lately, specifically the catch rule in the NFL. It was a hot topic yesterday. And we'll tie it in with a little like it, love it, or hate it.
Nice.
So the NFL came out – the competition committee came out yesterday or Monday, and they said they've discussed eliminating – quote, going to the ground as part of the catch rule that robbed Jesse James, Steelers versus Pats last season, where it said he must survive the ground. They're going back and looking at it. They actually said, we're going to try to go where the Dez Bryant catch in Green Bay for the Cowboys would be a catch. The Calvin Johnson from 8 years ago would be a catch. They're going to try to change the rule and once again determine what is a catch. Like it, love it, or hate it.
I'm all across the board. I love it because I like some of those are football moves, right? Like when you catch the ball, you go to turn up field, you stretch the ball out, the ball hits the ground. He's already made a football move. So surviving the ground shouldn't come into play because there are other instances in which, like, if you're tackled, the ground can't cause the fumble, right?
Right.
Like, so I thought there was a lot of gray area on that, but I hate it because it's just making it more convoluted. Like the conversation's just getting deeper and deeper down this rabbit hole. And you know, if they're going to make it really simple, just don't overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. If they're going to make it more like more gray area, more subjective, then I hate it.
It's if you go. So I talked to Mike Pereira yesterday, who's, you know, the Fox analyst, who's a former referee for the NFL.
Yeah.
He said the same thing you are. If they do that, I love it. Because it needs to be simplified, and it needs to be simplified from a wording standpoint. And I asked Mike Pereira, I was like, what should they do? What should the wording be? He's
right.
like, go back to what it was before all this mess came in there where they tried to define it, and it's a long, drawn-out answer. So if they do that, they simplify it, but also make it to where the interview process or the replay process is simpler as well.
Yeah.
Like, give them a minute to look at it from four angles, five, whatever it is. And then the other thing is, with a catch on the field, whatever is called on the field, error on that.
Right.
And it has to be so obvious that you can do it in three or four replays. And if it's not, then move on.
Keep it moving.
Say, go with the call that was on the field. Make it quicker. If they do that, NFL fans will love it. Everybody will love it. It'll be easier and better to understand. Another rule that was talked about as well from the competition committee, pass interference rule. They're considering changing all pass interference penalties to 15 yards, but they're saying it's unlikely to go into effect. Like it, love it, or hate it.
I hate that it's not going into effect. I would love for them to change that rule. It's one of my biggest like pet peeves with the NFL is that you could just chuck it up there, and and people are doing it now. Like they're
yes.
just like chuck it up there and pray for a pass interference call. I think especially a lot of these like back shoulder throws that I'm not a football aficionado, but they seem to be way more in vogue now, like in the last 4 or 5 years than they were like probably when you played. Was that like a staple of people's offense when you played a back shoulder?
We had just started doing back shoulder. Back shoulder is indefensible if you throw it well.
Exactly. It's either a catch or it's a damn pass interference every time. So you essentially can chalk up 25 yards on a back shoulder if you want it. I don't think that's fair. Like, I don't think it's fair to DBs. And I love offense. Like, I'm a football guy who loves to watch offense. But I don't like that you get that ball. Like, you know, you can essentially pick up 40 yards for not completing a pass on a 50-50 call by a ref.
What if a guy's completely beat the defender, so, takes him down, and it's only 15 yards in that situation?
So that would be the flip side. And I would say, like, you come up with some kind of hybrid rule, like soccer probably, right? Where, like, if that happens in a soccer game, the ref has the right to throw a red card and get a guy out. I don't know what the rule would be in football.
Yep.
But for something like that, where you're just flying down the field and you tackle him, then...
And you can have different styles of rules.
Correct.
It's like roughing the kicker. You know, if there's a 5 yard or a 15, they have different levels of foul. Mm-hmm. So you can have the 15 yarder and you can have a spot foul.
Correct.
Wherever it happened.
Correct.
All right. There's a new Josh McDaniels rule being discussed, where teams will be allowed to hire assistant coaches for their head coaching positions, even when their teams are active in the playoffs. If you remember Josh McDaniels, there were a lot of rumors he was going to be the head coach of the Colts. Then he actually was reported, and then he backs out at the last minute. It was a fiasco for the NFL. So they're considering actually where you could lock him in before, so you don't have a guy back out like this. Like it, love it, or hate it.
Love it. Yeah. I mean, I love it. I think it'll marginally hurt the product of some of these teams like that are in the playoffs if some of their assistants are kind of moonlighting and on the interview like circuit, but not that much. Those guys are professionals. That's not a good look for the league for Josh. Certainly not for the Indianapolis. They need to clean that up.
Although I'll say this, I don't know if it would have changed anything.
No.
I think Josh McDaniels probably would have said, no, I'm going to wait till after the season. I think a lot of coaches will say, no.
Oh, you mean in terms of taking the job?
Right, is it going to change anything? Like, are guys actually going to sign it? Yeah, I'm sure there will be some coaches, but I don't think it would have changed anything with Josh McDaniels. I think he was like waffling the whole time, and it was there. How about him, though? I haven't seen if it's been confirmed, but they were saying he was not going to go to Indy for the combine because he didn't want to be seen in Indianapolis, which I guess I wouldn't either. But come on, man, you got to go. Show your face out there. If you're going to back out like that and do them wrong,
Josh,
like that, you got to show up and do it at least. All right, how about some hoops rules that are being proposed? So they have experimental rules in basketball to be tested at the NIT. So the next boss is a couple of changes. Three-point line extended a foot and 8 inches to 22 feet. The free throw lane widened from 12 to 16 to match the NBA. 4 10-minute quarters instead of 2 20-minute halves. And the shot clock will reset to 20 seconds after offensive rebounds instead of the normal 30 seconds. Love it or hate it.
Love them all.
Yeah.
3-point line needs to be extended. These great shooters in college basketball, it's hard to predict if their range is going to stretch. I mean, a lot of them do, but why not stretch it now and let us see them shoot from deeper? The free throw line widened just makes sense. Like, college players are... You got guys that are 6'11", wings now. You need more space in there. I think college basketball is the only sport. I think women's basketball now is quarters.
Yeah,
I think men's college basketball is the only one still doing those 20-minute halves. So, like, catch up.
Yeah.
And then
I love it. I love it. Why do we have, and I would say this for college football as well, why not try to make everything the same, so that it's easier to transition.
Exactly,
it's easier to watch, and it just makes sense, especially for college football, who is struggling right now with the time of games.
Right,
go to the NFL clock rules. Like, why do you have to stop at every first down throughout the entirety of the game? It takes forever. You could wind it down; every game would be over in 3:15, 3:20, just like the NFL is. And then it's really confusing for players when they make the jump from college to the NFL.
I agree 100%. The shot clock reset kind of reflects that a little bit. Get quicker. Get these guys used to getting up and getting into sets quicker. But the one thing that I would like to see, and it's to the point you just made, is they allow so much grinding and physical play in college basketball. It's like playing in the NBA in the early 80s. I mean, it's why you could see Virginia hold a team like Pitt to 7 points in the first half.
Right.
They're mauling people. And that doesn't translate. It was one of the biggest adjustments coming from college to the NBA, and that I saw with rookies coming in when I was an older player and I could identify it, was everything they did in our practices, in our training camp, was a foul.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were just used to playing with their hands, playing, you know, hand checking, pushing, shoving, and you just don't get away with that at the NBA level. So make those rules reflect more of an NBA style of game, it'll help the kids coming up.
Hey, did you guys know there's a new way to get the latest scores, news, and highlights for the NFL and the upcoming combine?
Really?
All your favorite sports needs? Yeah, it's right here. It's CBS Sports HQ. It's a brand new 24/7 streaming channel covering the biggest games, best plays, and crucial insights from around sports. You can stream it free. That's the thing I think it's really cool about it. Free anytime on the CBS Sports app for Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire, your phone, other connected devices, or you can watch online anytime at cbssportshq.com. Let's get to Hannah. Hannah, what's happening?
Yeah, download now. Okay, so the Big Ten tournament tips off today. Still some stuff to be decided in other conferences and the top 25. On Tuesday, Miami knocked off number 9 North Carolina at the buzzer. Arkansas top number 14 Auburn. And St. Joe's stunned number 17 Rhode Island, beating the Rams by 30 points. But of course, the talk of the town in college hoops was something LeBron said he knew would make headlines, calling the NCAA, quote, corrupt.
I don't know if there's any fixing the NCAA. It's what's been going on for you for many, 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 many years. I don't know all the rules and regulations about it, but I do know what five-star athletes bring to a campus. I know how much these college coaches get paid. I know how much these colleges are gaining off these kids.
LeBron's got quite the voice these days.
Yeah, he's feeling it, yeah. Too. He's going to go out there and say everything.
But I'm not mad at him. I mean, I don't think that – I mean, he was asked a question.
Yep.
He answered the question. I think there's no secret that a lot of what he's – I mean, that's true. That's factual. The NCAA, especially in the light of all of this scandal and all of this FBI stuff, they've got some real soul searching to do, and they've got to figure out how to make this work. For everybody to protect the model. I mean, they're in jeopardy of this thing, like something really bad happening where you can't recover.
Here's what I would say to LeBron, because I think it's really easy and it's kind of trendy to do right now, is to rip the NCAA. The NCAA is corrupt.
Right.
I don't know if they're corrupt. I think they're really behind the times. I think they're struggling to kind of figure out how they can do things better. I think they're greedy, but corrupt is a really strong word.
Yep.
Why doesn't he go after the NBA, who is the league is the one preventing guys from going to the NBA? Like, it's their one-and-done rule. They're the ones that have the age restriction.
Right.
Why isn't he criticizing Adam Silver? And I think it's just, again, it's kind of falling into it's what's trendy to do.
Yeah.
Well, LeBron might soon have a son picking colleges, but until then, his former teammate, Shaquille O'Neal, has his son currently going through that process. Sharif O'Neal, a four-star recruit, decommitted from Arizona over the weekend in wake of allegations against head coach Sean Miller. Now
The check didn't clear. My bad.
I don't know. Now he is committed to another Pac-12 school, UCLA.
That's interesting. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, the D's has a home. Like, he probably they're out there in L.A. If the kid's going to be one and done, and I imagine, like, I think he's a
– Is he a seven-footer?
Yeah, he's close. Big. He's like 6'10", 6'11", right?
Yeah.
Plays like a wing kind of guard, though, like one of these hybrid guys. Keep him close to home. Like, they've got a pretty high success rate at turning out pros at UCLA. No need to send a kid across country if that's the game plan for him.
Over to the MLB, baseball's freak on the comeback. Former two-time Cy Young Award winner, two-time no-hitter pitcher, and three-time World Series champion, Tim Lincecum has agreed to a deal with the Texas Rangers after sitting out all of last season. So Lincecum, always known for his slender frame, popped up on social media this offseason looking pretty jacked.
Yeah, he looks shredded. It kind of makes you wonder what's going on, especially in baseball. But he's been doing, getting the workout pretty good. But this is a guy that just vanished from the face of the earth. Like, he was off the planet and one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. So I'm glad to see him. You know, he got paid a ton of money, but then kind of just went off the radar. I'm all about comebacks and seeing guys. I think it was a lot of mental, kind of lost his confidence, lost his swagger. And I'd love to see him get
another
chance.
Is he the one that looked like the kid from Dazed and Confused?
Exactly like him. Yeah, with his hair. But I think he cut his hair, too, since then, since he came back. Yeah, so he's got a new look as well.
Raja, this next one's for you. We had to talk about your favorite guy. So since the Super Bowl, rumors have been swirling of Rob Gronkowski's retirement. Gronk still hasn't committed to playing football next season. According to a source at NBC Sports, he's seriously considering retirement, and he has been for a while. According to this report, Gronk has been unhappy in New England since training camp last season, and he almost called it quits before this past season even got underway.
I'm not going to do it.
I had it written down.
I know. I saw you write it down. 36. I'm not going
to
do it. I'm
trying
not going
to bait him into it. Yeah, I like it. He's maturing.
So that maturing is a good word, because this is the question for Gronk, right? Like,
yeah.
I, like I could see him at this point having suffered some of the injuries, especially that head injury late, like actually starting to look at the future and wondering like how much more is worth it for his body, for his health, so on and so forth. I think that he plays because at the end of the day, I think that's just who he is. I think he's a football player. I don't know that there's anything else out there that's going to fulfill him. It's like that for some guys. Like some guys can't find something to do after the game. The game is what they're about, who they are. He strikes me as that kind of dude. I know he wants to find something else. It sounds like he's soul searching, but I don't know that there's anything that's going to fill that void for him like football does.
Yeah, he said at one point he was going to go into acting. Who
he's
knows?
Not an actor.
Who knows?
WWE is where it would be for him.
All right, so while the focus on franchise tags is on quarterbacks and Le'Veon Bell, the Lions quietly tagged pass rusher Ezekiel Ansah, keeping the former fifth overall pick off the open market. Ziggy collected 12 sacks in 2017 and will collect $17.5 million under the tag. Detroit and Ansah have until July 16th to reach an agreement for a long-term deal.
This is just a formality. They don't want to lose him in free agency, but it'll be interesting to see if before that July date, if they can get a long-term extended because he's a baller and they need to keep him around.
Lastly, guys, important playoff positioning battles in the NBA Eastern Conference last night with the Heat edging the Sixers. Ooh, D-Wade in that last second. And the Wizards getting by the Bucks. But it's LeBron's world. We're all just living in it. The Cavs now 2-2 post-All-Star break following a 129-123 victory over the Nets. LeBron with a triple-double last night and finished February averaging a triple-double. The first month in his 15-year career, he accomplished that feat.
Yeah, D-Wade, an emotional game winner. Did you see where he had the name of the kid from... Solomon Douglas there. Yep. Did you guys see what I posted on Instagram? I was at the Apple store yesterday. So I was at the store and I was getting my phone fixed. I'm sitting there at like the back table and there's a kid next to me and he's getting help. Same thing. Like his phone is cracked.
Yep.
Like it's shattered. And I heard the two geniuses from the Apple store, they were talking about it. You know what I mean? Like the geniuses in the blue shirts. They were talking about it. They're like, oh yeah, he's from Parkland and his phone got shattered at school. And I was like, oh. And they're like, we're going to replace it for free. So I'm sitting there. I look at his hat. It says, like, I see the Stoneman Douglas colors. Yeah. I'm like, hey, do you go to Douglas? And he's like, yeah. I was like, what year? He's like, I'm a freshman. I'm 14. Oh. And I was like, man. I was like, you're okay? Everything all right? He's like, yeah. He's like, I almost got killed. And my reaction was like, oh, you know, anybody there that day must have felt that scared.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, you must have been really terrified. He's like, yeah. He's like, I was shot.
What?
And I was like, that was my reaction. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, I got shot twice from the guy. And I was like,
holy.
I was like, are you serious?
So, did he show you?
So he was wearing like a hoodie and just some shorts. And I was like trying, and he saw me like kind of looking. And he's like, he showed me, pulled up his sweatshirt. It was on his back and on his arm.
Oh.
And he said he was in the hospital for a couple of days. He plays hockey for them. And they just won the state championship.
And he was up walking around?
Yeah. And he said he's trying to get clearance from his doctor to go back to the hockey team because now they enter like the national, championship stuff. But it just was a reminder of like how close to home stuff hits. Mm-hmm. And he was just like a really good, normal, like 14. He is a boss.
Champ.
I mean, to be able to bounce back from that. And they go back to school, so I'll keep them in our thoughts, and hopefully we can get this thing solved so we get our kids safer at school for sure.
Yes.
All right, let's get to some more NBA stuff. Anthony Davis has been lights out. Boogie Cousins goes down. He's basically put this team on his back. Through the month of February, he's averaging 35-12. This last five games, he's averaging 39-14. He had the 53-point game the other night. Everybody thinks James Harden's going to win the MVP.
Yes, James Harden's going to win the MVP.
All right, so he doesn't have a chance to knock him down there?
No, would you just say six games?
Yeah. But if he carries it up, all right, so.
Look, this guy hasn't been healthy for a season, and I'm not, like, he's a phenomenal talent. When he's healthy, a phenomenal player, but what is the average per year in terms of games played?
Yeah,
there are 82 games. It's got to be.
It's been an issue.
64, 67, 68, 61, 75.
Okay. All right. So that means.
He's always about 75% of the games.
Yes. Which in and of itself, okay. But he's going to have to do this, get them over a hump, like an imaginary hump, from being one of the, like, and the hump for me is being a perennial, like, fighting for your life type of playoff team, fighting to get in, to being a legitimate middle of the pack threat in the Western Conference, and they are not there yet. So no MVP.
What about when they get Cousins back? Do you think they'll be a legit contender in the West?
He is a free agent this offseason, so assuming he re-signs, which seems likely.
Yeah, I think they could be. I do. I think they could be, but they need, like, every roster needs shaping. You get your stars, and then you've got to find the pieces to put around. And in today's NBA, it's like a 2-star minimum, and now to really be viable, it's three stars, right? You need 3 guys that can really go to work, and then you've got to put the right pieces of like shooting and defending, and they've got the rim protection down with the 2 bigs. So theirs would be, you know, Drew Holiday is a nice piece, finding the right 3-and-D guys to go around that stuff, the right vets coming off that bench. And they could be, but that's a lot of ifs. I mean, the talent is there, but they got to figure it out from a front office perspective. And then, you know, Alvin Gentry, my guy, has got to make it work.
All right. We got a new segment Debo came up with. I kind of like this. It's called Do We Buy It?
Do we buy it?
Because we hear a lot of stuff.
I like
guys,
to buy it.
You hear rumors. You hear, you know, stuff like that's going on, moves that are going to be made, trades possibly. Or guys shopping around for schools because maybe they're looking at that franchise to move to. So LeBron reportedly looking at schools in Philly for his kids. Sixers color commentator Ala Abdelnaby says, quote, I've told this to a few other people, and I have no problem saying this. My brother lives in the Philadelphia area, and he told me that LeBron last week through a superintendent was in the area checking out some private schools during the All-Star break. Is LeBron going to be on the Sixers next year? Raja, go. Do we buy it?
No, I do not buy it.
I buy it.
You buy it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Debo wants to buy it, being the Philly guy.
It would be a fantastic storyline. I mean, but I don't buy it. I think his son's coming of age. Bronny is what they called him when I was in Cleveland with him, and my kids know him. But I guess he's, what, 13 now maybe? Is he
about He'll be entering high school next year.
Yeah, and so a lot of these guys look for a great basketball situation to put their kids in, and that could be a prep-ish type of situation for him. I don't know. You know, you got people that go to Oak Hills, and they go to the Mount Zions, and they go to the – what's the one up here in Orlando? IMG, but the other one is where D'Angelo Russell and all of those guys went to Ben Montverde. Simmons, Montverde. Like, guys go to all of those, so it could be just a situation like that.
I want to buy it because I would actually rather see LeBron in Philly than the Lakers. I think it'd be a better team. I think it'd be better for him because it's in the Eastern Conference. I would love that he'd
be better. I don't want him in L.A.
I don't either.
Sounds like bad news.
I know, and I don't think he could win. That's the other thing. Yeah. Like, I want to see him have a chance where he does have a legit chance to win titles. And get with those dudes.
Ala Abdelnaby was one of the best like college basketball names,
Duke, right?
And he was at Duke.
I hated
Duke too, but I loved I loved Ala Abdelnaby. I don't know why.
His name always resonated. Like, you always just remembered that name. It was really. I was more of a J.R. Reed guy for Carolina. How about D. Wade possibly thinking about retirement? He had the game winner. We talked about that, but earlier Tuesday, reports that the 36-year-old Wade is genuinely undecided whether he wants to play beyond this season. You buy it?
I buy that he's undecided.
I don't buy it.
I buy.
You think he's going to play forever? So 36 is ancient in the NBA. Like, that is really a lot of wear.
Yeah, but he just wants us to talk about it, and he's going to make a big deal, and he's like, one more year.
True.
That's what's going to happen. It's his ego.
I think he does like the attention of people thinking he's going to retire.
Yeah, he wants, like, this has just been all the hype around D-Wade that he can bring.
I could see that, and I agree. I think there is some attention seeking there, but I do think that you can be unsure about whether you want to do it again. And that doesn't mean you're like leaning 80-20 to retirement, but there could be some thoughts of like, maybe not. But I think he will play. And I think coming down the stretch, having the type of game that he had last night, seeing that happen a little bit more, kind of soaking in all that adulation from the fan base and stuff like that's going to help him get over that hump of whether or not he wants to do it.
Did he do that my house thing where he like points to the ground?
He said, this
like,
is my ish.
Oh, he did.
Oh, that was his my deal. Ish. Yeah,
because I was I've been waiting for him to do that,
to
and he used to
out.
Do like this other thing that I practice. I feel like I have it down.
No, you didn't love
I've
that.
Been waiting.
You didn't love that, Debo. You didn't love it last night, huh?
No, we'll see him in the playoffs.
Oh, bam! All right. How about our guy, Justin Thomas? We talked about on Monday. He's getting this spectator ejected. Do we buy his apology?
Hell no.
He came out. Hold on. I'll give you the apology. It's kind of like he had like a series of tweets. I never want to lose fans or have people root against me. I just didn't see a place for the particular person to be yelling at us. Things that weren't necessary over and over. I overreacted and should not have had him kicked out. I feel bad about it. I love all my fans. And to hear that I've lost quite a few because of that isn't fun.
Well,
do you buy his apology?
What did he say again afterwards? Didn't he?
Hey, buddy. You know, he said, hey, buddy, you're out of here. You're gone. That was like literally the quote. He goes, hey, buddy, you're gone.
I mean, he was heated in the moment, but like also just like, shut up.
Like, dude, like to the way he said, you're gone, like the entitlement, like
it was like
you're gone.
Fired.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, right, you're fired. That's exactly. And I love the hand. I love that.
I think
you're fired.
I think like, he's, I think, I don't know if I buy the apology. I think his team, his people, his friends probably like, you're getting skewered.
Yeah.
Like you are getting roasted.
I appreciate the apology.
I appreciate the apology. I actually have kind of reversed course a little bit on this
Beat
one.
It. Imagine, shut his mic off. Because,
if you would have had, because I think this comes down to power.
Right.
If you were playing on the road somewhere when you were playing, and there was an obnoxious fan who was wearing you out the entire game, and you had the power to say, I want that guy out of there, don't you think you would have exercised
it? Different. It's
you
wouldn't different have?
No.
Well, that's the thing. Golf is a different sport. That's why I'm okay with
that. That dude
doing
said
that.
To get
that's
in.
That's true, because you're not supposed to say anything in golf.
It's not true. They cheer all the time. People are out there yelling all the time. As long as it's not in somebody's backstroke or something.
Backswing, yeah.
People hit the ball and they erupt. Like, after the ball swings, people are yelling all kinds of stuff.
But typically you don't boo a bad shot.
He didn't boo it.
No, I know, but he was rooting against it.
He said, get in the bunker.
I'm a big mojo guy. Like, I don't want that negative mojo around me. I'm superstitious. Look, I don't want somebody.
Like, if someone chanted air ball at you, which you heard – I don't know how many times.
From thousands of people when you do shoot an air ball.
And you never would have been like, you're out of here.
No, I'm trying to get Justin Thomas back on my side so we can get him on the pod, all right?
That's fine. I'll take the yell for you, Danny.
Look, but if somebody yells some stuff at your mom or your kids or they're throwing racial slurs at you or, you know, like that type of stuff.
Agreed.
Yeah, okay, fine. But not something get in the bunker. Come on, bro. Get a little skin on you, brother.
All right. So we had the Grammys a few weeks ago. And now it's the Oscars. We had our version of the NBA Grammys. And Debo, you got a little something cooked up for us for a little NBA Oscars?
This one not as intense. I'm just going to ask you guys, which NBA player delivered the best acting performance in your mind? We got a couple options. We got Kareem, vintage classic in Airplane. Ray Allen, Jesus Shuttlesworth, and he got Game. Michael Jordan, you got to give him a little bit of credit.
Slam dunk. For who
Dr. J
this, right?
And the Fish Save Pittsburgh.
It's so easy.
Anyone from Blue Chips.
I think this is
Eddie.
The easiest question.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't...
Can we say it at the same time?
It's our boy Ray.
Ray, yeah.
What?
All right, on three. Let's go. One,
on three,
two, three.
And I'm by myself. Ray. Space Jam.
Cannon, that's not three.
I know.
And it has to
wait.
Be one player.
I didn't want to do
like,
it.
Maybe you could give that to the movie, but we're giving the award for best actor
Michael
right now.
Michael Jordan.
I mean, Space Jam was great, but he got Game was great, too.
Yeah.
You know,
and
he
actually showed some
great,
acting chops.
Fine.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty
and
impressive.
I don't even like to say
I'm going
that
with the
like,
movie, not the performance.
Hey, but do you guys really know, like, did anybody see The Fish to Save Pittsburgh?
I did. My dad was from Pittsburgh. He loved that movie.
Was Doc good in it? I've never seen it.
Not really.
Not really. I got it. Fair enough.
He's one of the best ever.
Yes, sir.
You actually need to watch that movie.
Shaq and Kazam.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Blue Chips was a nice.
I love that. Was my era.
I think the sneaky one in here is Kareem in Airplane.
Yeah,
like as the pilot, he's denying it the whole time. That was fantastic.
What about Like Mike? Does that count?
Bow Wow.
Well, speaking of Bow Wow, because he's in the news too. Bow Wow maybe picked the wrong career.
Stop.
Maybe he should not have been a rapper actor. Maybe he should have been a hoopster.
Stop it.
Because you know what he's doing? He's out there beating our boy Lonzo Ball in a ludicrous shooting competition and. Absolutely rubbing in his face, which I actually kind of like.
Wow.
Is there any chance you would have let any like entertainer beat you in a 3-point contest? You can't let this happen if you're Lonzo, right?
No, but I mean, look,
all you have to do is shoot 31% and you'd beat him.
And you'd be,
I mean, it's not that hard.
Could R. Kelly beat you in a shooting contest?
Absolutely not.
Oh my gosh, can we please listen to Trapped in the Closet series over and over again? Like, we just need to lock some. That should be someone's punishment.
Lonzo's been playing better though. He was shooting the ball better. Field goal percentage.
But not enough to beat Bow Wow.
Yeah,
wait, real quick. I'm going to go to the opposite side of this. I think this is really good for Bow Wow's career because poor guy had a bad 2016, if y'all remember. Actually, I think it was 2017. He Instagrammed that plane that he was
that
on like
Bow
a private
Wow?
jet.
Yeah.
And he wasn't on it.
That's tough.
Remember that?
Yeah.
This is a great PR move for Bow Wow.
That's a bad look.
I can't. Do you think Lonzo actually felt any pressure? Because they were going back and forth. It was like three shots, and they both missed one, and then it was like fourth. And Bow Wow knocked it down, and Lonzo had to answer, and he didn't.
I don't think Lonzo is a shooting contest kind of guy. Like he's too.
Not.
But not just his shot. I think like his mental. Like he's like a cool, too cool for school. I don't even think he'd probably. I would bet that it wasn't super serious for Lonzo. He doesn't look like he takes anything like super, super serious.
Yeah.
And in those shooting games, bro, if you ain't, you got to be locked in.
You know what else he doesn't take super, super serious? His top five rappers of all time. Because he had listed, all right, you ready for this? I don't even know. This is kind of sad.
No, current rappers.
Oh, this is.
So this is a lot better.
So it was definitely like, it was specifically asked to him. See, I thought this showed his age.
They said like in the game right now.
All right, in the game right now, he's got Takeoff, Offset, Drake, Future and 21 Savage.
That's a weak.
I don't know two of those.
I don't know Takeoff and Offset.
That's the two.
Migos.
I bet there's
Migos.
That's who they are.
That's who he named.
The Migos.
Why didn't
Bad
he
and
say
Bougie?
Migos then?
Because there's three of them. I actually think
Bad
he said
and Bougie.
I don't think he said Takeoff. I think he said Quavo.
Oh yeah, he did say Quavo. He did.
Dude, I don't know.
Take off the other one.
I think it's
the stuff that my kids
I think that actually speaks more of the lack of players in the rap game.
You guys
right
remember
now.
His yeah. stupid song that he made? Like he was trying to be
who,
all
Alonzo?
Of them. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
He was
actually
trying to be all five of those people.
He has every.
What's
five
your kid's favorite album. Song yeah. right now?
My kids. Yeah. My kids are weird. I try to isolate them from a lot of rap. Although they do like God's Plan. Like we've been listening to God's Plan.
Yeah, God's Plan is good. All right.
What about you, Raja?
My kids is I Got That Juice. Who sings that? What is that? What is that?
I don't like that song.
Well, yeah, they
isn't
love
it,
that.
Isn't
like,
it Yo Gotti?
Yo Gotti. Yeah, it's Yo Gotti, I think.
Okay, I did not want to be wrong and like risk it for the biscuit there.
I'll have to check it out.
Clean version, though. Clean version.
Clean version? All right, I'll have to check it out.
My kids on my basketball team know the dirty version, though. The kids on my team. But,
my kids aren't weird, I promise. But
a future episode, we'll go Danny and Raja and Hannah's top five dead or alive. Future episode.
All right, perfect.
Oh, my God, I'm already ready.
All right, let's get some topics, Debo. What do you got for us?
All right, Jalen Ramsey didn't go to the Super Bowl, didn't win that. Bleep, but he's still talking trash in the offseason. A current Texas A&M and former FSU assistant posted a picture on Twitter of seminal defensive backs in the NFL that played under head coach Jimbo Fisher, kind of as a recruiting technique. The outspoken Jags cornerback replies, "He didn't teach me not one DB technique," referring to Fisher.
Good.
And then he followed that up.
Yeah.
In fairness, he followed it up saying, "No, I have nothing but respect for you, Coach Brew, but don't use me on a poster for a school I didn't go to and for a coach who didn't teach me how to be a defensive back." Drama at the alma mater, Danny.
No, you know what this is the equivalent to? This is saying, "Get my name out your mouth."
Yes.
Like, that's exactly what he said. He's spot on. But, and I know SEC fans won't like this, but the SEC is exceptional at taking statistics and manipulating them into their favor. That's exactly what Jimbo Fisher did. They put up this trendy sign. Not one player played at Texas A&M. Why would you use that to recruit to your school? It doesn't make any sense.
I feel
good
Jaylen.
For Jalen.
Yeah, I feel Jalen.
Call him out. Mm-hmm. Keep it coming.
All right. Back to Russell Wilson. This one, not about his hands. Miracle water, it prevents and heals concussions. And does it help you hit home runs? Sounds like we need to investigate what's going on and what Russell's putting into his body. The Seahawks quarterback can now also be labeled a Yankees prospect. And in an effort to not try hard at all, Wilson posted a video of himself hitting some bombs and pinstripes. Apparently, it was 6 home runs during a batting practice session. Danny, are you the only legit gridiron to Diamond Star?
Yes, definitely. No, I will say this. He hit 6. 6 is not bad. Six
I hate
is actually,
this story. Why is he doing this? Why,
I think because like, he can.
But with people like Judge and Stanton just watching, I think it's a bunch of baloney.
No, but I think Judge and Stanton probably like it. Like, they probably like interacting
There's
with a starting
no
NFL quarterback. I think they do because they know he's not going to play with them.
Yeah.
Like,
but,
spring training is a joke. Like, it's just one big fun. Like, they go out there, they play golf in the afternoon. Like,
but
they might
I feel
hit
like the
balls.
Big, like, Wilson is taking the story away from the actual, like, big story, which is Stanton and Judge.
No, I think they're cool with it. They might. I don't. I just. I don't.
You're
think
probably
they're,
right. I'm
I
just
think
annoyed.
They like hanging
it's an
out with them.
It's an interesting conversation, though. Like, cause they, I could see
Garth
little...
Brooks went to spring training with a team.
Why
Billy
do
Crystal
do it?
Went
I
to
don't
spring
get it.
Training.
The Will Ferrell documentary. He played for 9 teams in a day.
Because it's fun. Like, it's baseball's the most laid back sport. That's why I love baseball.
Yeah,
like,
but
you can do that.
To your point, like, these two are supposed to be like.
Yeah,
this,
it is.
This
the
is
story
a big,
of the off
big deal that these two are together now.
Yeah.
But I kind of.
They'll get that once the season.
I side with Danny on this.
I just feel like Russell Wilson.
You're a hater. You hate all great things.
No,
right.
He just like his ego is very apparent in this story.
How many home runs could I hit in batting practice?
Did you play baseball when you were little?
I did. I played in the last year I played was 10th grade. I played at Gulliver. I played 10th
could
grade.
Could you get one, do you think?
Nah, bro, I could not.
You don't
hit
think
one.
So?
No.
No, I think, all right, here's the thing. Out of the 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL, I bet 20 of them could go yard.
Really?
Yeah, they're just
really?
Like all most guys played baseball.
Yeah.
I don't think it's super hard. Like Aaron Rodgers is on. He's done it before, taking MVP with the Brewers. He's done it. Like a lot of guys, I think, would.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it.
Brady would.
Brady?
Yeah, for sure. He played baseball. I think he was drafted.
We talk all this
Tom Brady?
About like, how athletic everyone is, and we've got to put it to the test. I have to know.
How many threes could
the first
you make?
One-on-one has to go down first. The
yeah,
one-on-one
that's
Hannah and Debo.
So we got 2 Kyrie Irving stories real quick. So this kid the other night at the Celtics game showcases his barber's, I would say, relative skills with Kyrie's face shaved into the back of his head. You can check it out at Canel on Bell on Twitter. But this cracked me up. So I'm on our account. And I just see some random guy, quote, has never heard of our podcast. I don't know where it came from. But he says, quote tweets it and says, "That face looks like a sad Raja Bell."
Oh, are you serious?
Just because sometimes I'll search your guy's names and like tweet the link at people.
Right.
Just random. But it cracked me up.
That's fantastic.
That is really funny.
So Debo, inside scoop here on the show. Do you name search our boy Rajah Bell?
Yeah.
For the show?
And you.
I love it. Because yeah. The best was when you found the other dude was like, man, I hate Rajah Bell.
Oh, yeah. That was so funny.
There's a lot of yeah. There's some haters, but a lot of people that love Rajah. So
a lot of haters, though.
No, okay.
What I put back to the dude, he's probably like president of the Kobe fan club. That's like, that's the dude's a hater.
Like, Danny has more haters, though. So we're going to call this segment Sneaks for Keeps. Hannah, you like that?
I came up with that.
All right. How does the concept of So how does the concept of to infinity and beyond work if you think the earth is flat? Kyrie Irving himself debuts Toy Story inspired kicks. One, an ode to Buzz Lightyear. One, an ode to Woody. Going to be about $80.
Did you come up
have
to
you
that
seen these, Roger?
Infinity and beyond yeah. with the flat earth?
That was me. You like that?
Yeah, hey! I like that. I have seen them, Hannah. I think that I like the Buzz Lightyear. I think they're dope. Not so big on the Woodies, although, you know.
I like the Woodies.
Yeah.
What's wrong with the Woodies out there?
I like
you would like the
them.
Woodies.
You know what I like? The $80 price tag. Because like, some of these shoes really are cool. Out of control. Yep. And so it'll be nice to have something affordable.
They're so cool.
My kids will get them.
Yeah.
I want
Which
these.
Ones do you like? Do you like anyone better?
I just like Woody better as a character, so I would go with those.
There you go.
I think it's funny, though, right? Like, these kids, like Kyrie's grown man now. Like, I've got cousins that are grown men. They're in college. And they'll come visit my kids. And I'll put on like a Disney movie and I'll say to my wife, like, these kids, what is the deal? These 25-year-old men are sitting here watching, but they grew up on them.
Right.
Like, it's incredible. Like, they're watching Finding Nemo, but it was like their favorite movie as a kid. I think it's great.
On to our most dramatic topic ever.
Oh. That was the best.
A Stanford strength coach went on The Bachelor and begged for his ex back. She said no. I mean, Stanford known for their high character kids, but they're still going to roast them, right?
Okay, guys, have to say, I didn't even watch this episode and you know I'm a Bachelor fan. Everybody, including my mother, is talking about this coach.
Yeah.
They're like, can we make him the next Bachelor?
Hold on.
My
mom
was talking about his butt.
For a little background, Rajah's got like the deer in headlights look. All right, yeah. So this dude dated this girl for 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
Did not get married, so they broke up. His girl goes on The Bachelor to fall in love, right? Oh. She gets down to the final three, so she's got a chance to meet this new guy, this other guy.
Yeah.
I'm giving you the breakdown. Yeah. No, I've read about it. So she's in Peru, all right? So they're going to the fantasy suite, which basically know what happens in the fantasy suite.
It goes down in the boom boom
room.
It's
the morning after. It's the morning after, and this dude...
Wait. This dude comes in the morning after she leaves the fantasy suite with The Bachelor.
So she comes out. He flies down to Peru, knocks on the door, and she opens it. No idea. And he says he professes his love and proposes to her.
He proposes to her?
Yes.
Get out of town. You spoiled the show for me. I still haven't
saw
my DVR.
What was she wearing when she opened
the
robe?
I didn't see it.
She
but
was
apparently,
probably in a robe.
Apparently her face like went dead white when it went down.
Wait,
but
was this Lauren
dude,
B
you
got to
be more self-aware. This
okay.
is Becca. You have to know. You have to be more
self-aware.
I feel
so uncomfortable right now. I'm going to be.
You have to be more self-aware.
No,
like,
listen.
You need to know what's going down.
Who is that guy?
Twitter?
He's a strength coach, a performance coach at Stanford.
He needs to.
Twitter was obsessed with him. My mom
you know
told me she liked his butt.
Why?
You know what's going to happen? He is the next Bachelor.
No.
I'm calling it now.
No Bachelor franchise won't do that.
Yeah, they will.
They'll They'll put him on Bachelor in Paradise.
No, he's going to be the guy. There's already a movement on Twitter to get him as the next Bachelor.
He's going to be on Bachelor in Paradise somehow. Maybe he'll show up one day.
David Charles got to get rid of him, right?
You have to.
You have to go.
All respect
I feel like
for that dude. Ross Jergel.
That
is that
like
his
the
name?
Beginning.
Yes.
Ross Jergel.
Get him out of there.
Come on, baby. Like, you've set mankind. You've set men
he lost, exactly.
back.
I'm so
generations,
happy that we just
bro.
Had this
come on.
I feel like that was
Rajah,
the beginning
are you sold
of a
on
new...
The Bachelor.
I am sold on Ross Jergens. Like, come talk to me, bro. What is going on?
Some help. He does.
Danny, I love how much you knew about that story.
I was fired up about this story because I couldn't believe this guy let it happen. And you know why? Because I think we've all been there, at least some of us. I've had my heart broken.
Nah, dog,
and
yes,
you've been in that position. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't believe because I probably
would
have done something
would
like that.
Would you fly to Peru?
No, nah, dog, you wouldn't have done that, Danny. Don't tell me
that.
Back.
Someone
I was
paid
that whipped.
Me
I'm going to lose all my little professional polish here, bro. Don't do that. Like, I'm getting angry at Ross Jergens. I'm salty right now.
More about The Bachelor.
Or Ross Jergens.
I'm really with Ross Jergens.
Yeah, whatever his name is.
Bro, listen. Bro, cut the podcast.
I would say
now.
Get him on the show, but I guarantee he's like booked on Ellen. I guarantee
we
can
get some other Bachelor people
blow up.
On the show, though.
Good for you, Ross Jergels.
All right, let's do some 5-star Q&A.
I think we have a couple good questions here. All right. So Jimmy on the radio, he says, when will we get another album drop from the GOAT? I've been waiting at Tower Records for years, or this is going to drop on DatPiff. Hashtag Danny is my MCM.
That's a great question. The GOAT. What? I'll go ahead and answer that as the GOAT.
And Crush Monday.
Oh, really?
The greatest rapper on this podcast. I don't know. We should do something. Debo could make up a little something. We got a little studio we could work with.
Well, we're still waiting for our cypher, our rap battle between you two.
That's right.
We have to get to 10,000 Twitter followers and 1,000 five-star reviews. We're getting close, but still some work to do.
I think it's actually pretty good because it's kind of what you do when you get older, and JT did it on his album. You bring in the kids, get them involved, like have a little background vocals from them, have a little, they do the chorus. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Throw it down. Yeah.
Follow.
10,000 followers.
Subscribe.
Boom. At Canell and Bell.
All right. Mav Pitch says, Raja, have you won a game of Fortnite yet?
Oh, no, I have not won a game
we
of Fortnite.
We got to tweet out that photo of him playing with all the kids.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do that. Yeah,
family bonding.
Yeah, we were all sitting there on Friday afternoon. My kids can't play during the week. So, like, they come home from school Friday. It's
ready to
back
go.
Down, headsets on.
The faces were great. They all look the same. Like, mouths open. Like,
like, I'm in there coaching. Like, get it, do it. But I've gotten second a bunch of times, both in solo and in squad play. Like, I'm really good. But there's some dudes that build, they jump, they build, they jump, they build. Like, I'm not that good with my – I'm not that nice with my hands yet.
I also saw that they're adding jetpacks to this. I don't know anything, but this was a headline.
You don't love it.
I don't love it. You get the launch pad, you launch pad up, and then you kind of drift to another area. I think jetpacks are going to make it like – you could just jetpack anywhere you want to go in the game. I like that you have to run.
Cause... you know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Diddy Kong Racing when you would do like the hovercraft. Does anyone know what I'm talking about?
Diddy Kong Racing.
You thought
Racing.
It was like a really
good
idea. Is
that Nintendo DS or something?
Yeah, that's Nintendo 64. Yeah,
Nintendo 64.
Anyways, all right. James Brady, he says, why do so many basketball superstars have awkward personalities relative to superstars in other sports? For example, LeBron James on social media, Kevin Durant on social media and in interviews. What? Kobe Bryant's passive aggressiveness, etc. Is it due to their drastically shortened or eliminated college experience? What? James Brady.
Thank you. You take that one.
I'm sorry. I am personally offended by this one. I don't think that it has anything to do with college experience. I feel like I have plenty of college experience and I have a terrible rep on social media, so that doesn't prove anything.
Hold on. Yeah, who says they're awkward?
Yeah, these dudes are beloved on social media. They've got millions and millions of followers.
I don't know if LeBron's beloved. What? But I don't think he's awkward.
No, his social media? Look how many followers that dude like.
No, he's got a lot of followers, but like the passive aggressive stuff.
Subtweeting.
Yeah, subtweeting his players, calling like I'm not talking about the quality, like the
Kevin Love fitting out, all that stuff.
That's part of the game. It's just like what you do on social media.
I would bet you that if you polled the people following LeBron, that he would people would tell you that they follow him for more positive reasons than negative reasons. Like, I don't think.
And again, back to the question, I don't think they're awkward.
Me neither.
Either one of them. I think even Kobe.
You don't think those personality traits that Hannah read off are accurate?
The passive aggressiveness.
Kevin Durant on social media having a burner account.
Kevin, that was awkward.
Yeah, but why? But, why is he saying? Is this due to their shortened college experience? I'm sorry, but
I think
just not having that social skills.
No,
are you James Brady? Is that your burner?
I feel like it's a legit question.
I think it is
an interesting question.
It's interesting, but James, I guess my thing is I don't know that they're necessarily that awkward. I think like. You know, awkward is a subjective thing, right? Like,
and
some people love it.
By now, too, they're so far removed. I mean, they're in their 30s, isn't it? I don't know if KD is yet, but you're getting farther removed from high school where they have had time to mature. And thank goodness it wasn't around social
media. Is it when you're that level of superstar, you're bound to be considered just a little bit awkward or out there regardless?
I don't know. Just because of your status?
Is Joel Embiid awkward?
No, he's funny.
I feel like unless you have a personal conversation with each of these athletes, you cannot call them awkward because you only see them in like weird situations where they have to answer questions they don't want to answer.
Is Brady. Like, he puts out that Tom Brady. Like cartoon newspaper thing. He's a little awkward.
You're trying to get me to go get some weird right now. All right. Douda26. I always say this guy's name wrong. I'm so sorry. So, Danny, if you were a commissioner of the NFL for the day, what would you change? And Bell, not Raja, but Bell, if you were commissioner of the NBA, what would you change?
Huh, go ahead, buddy.
I think they're trying to do some of these things right. I think the catch rule, I think you'd make that simple. Like, that's the serious answer. I don't think it's an easy job, although I would love to do it. You just wield your power and be like, hey, I don't like that guy. I'm going to suspend him for 4 games, whatever it is.
I hear that.
I think the NFL's in a pretty good spot as far as the rules of the game.
Would you throw people out for heckling?
No, I would not. I would encourage more heckling.
I think that any technical foul assessed or ejection given should warrant said referee and the player that was ejected or given the technical foul should warrant a sit down and after the game and a full debrief slash explanation of what went down and why it transpired. So that they could find some common ground right after the game and get to the bottom of that. And not play it out through the media and stuff like that. I think if you want to further the discussion between refs and players and get them on the same page, while that's fresh, while it just happened, instead of escorting the refs out with armed security and getting them out of the building as fast as they can and not let have anybody access to them, like let them talk it out. Let them figure it out. You could still, they don't have to rescind the tech, but let them talk it out on the spot. Maybe you'll get some dialogue and you'll get a different reaction from both parties.
So you just put me onto something. If I'm the NFL commissioner for a day, the first thing I'm going to do is try to repair the relationship between the players and me if I'm the commissioner, because yep. It is broken, and mm-hmm. The players hate Roger Goodell. I would want to try to have a partnership as opposed to this contentious relationship.
All right, from Jared Wirtz. He says, what are the two best shows you watched or are watching, and why are Game of Thrones and Power those best two shows? People listening here.
Power is pretty solid.
Is that what we... Did we say like Power?
Power too? Is yeah. really dope.
We didn't say Power before.
That's what I
is
thought.
Is it back? When is it
I don't,
back?
I don't think it's back yet. Right now, what I'm back on is Homeland. Homeland's back.
Oh, that's just
still? Yeah, Carrie Matheson is back. She's in country. Saul is out of prison. Just FYI, spoiler alert.
I don't know anything. How's
Brody doing?
Brody. Yeah, Brody is RIP, brother. yeah. What's my second favorite? I don't know. I want to be forthcoming here. You know what I really like? Blacklist.
I watched the first three seasons of Blacklist. Yeah, like Raymond Reddington. I was like, kind of over it. I'm like,
it's the same thing all the time.
Exactly. I know, but they're like easy watching.
I like it.
Everybody wants to know,
yeah.
including me, are you still watching Frankenstein Chronicles?
No, it got really transparent at the end. I was like, oh, my God, he's going to be Frankenstein. Like, that's what's going to happen here. So, like, I finished season one, in all fairness, full disclosure. And then I was like, yeah, I'm out.
We're going to have to put a spoiler alert at the top of this show.
I'm on to Crashing, the HBO show about comedians.
I just started that.
It's pretty funny. Yeah, it's a pretty good one. I'm traveling because we're all, like, headed our separate ways, mm-hmm. taking some time off. I'm actually trying to find something new stuff to watch. So Frankenstein Chronicles, that'll be on there.
Plug it in.
All right. That's a wrap for us. Again, we will be back next week. No show Friday or Monday next week. We're back Wednesday following the weekend. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hopefully gave you some extra stuff to listen to. And make sure you go check us out at Kunnell and Bell on Twitter, at Kunnell and Bell on Instagram. And as always, go subscribe, download on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, leave us that 5-star review, and check us out. Thanks for listening. See ya.